great. Always get kind of introduced like I'm a guest speaker from out of town every time I come up to preach. So they've got to think of new things to say, and it's good. I like it. Long may it continue. And thanks, Pastor Kane, for that. Appreciate it, mate. I just wanted to say that everyone should really consider Red Frogs this afternoon at 5:30. There's an open door of opportunity to minister to some young people in this city who, some of them are here without family, many of them are here without family, living away from home. And it's a great opportunity to get in, and it's easy. It's like you're not going in there with Bible in hand, ready to whack people and preach the gospel or anything like that. It's as simple as just hanging out, providing some food, all that kind of stuff. Kane and all the team will be there, so no matter your age, it should excite you. So come along 5:30 in the foyer, and let's get a heap of people going out there to make a difference amongst the university and all those places. It'll be good. Is that all right, Pastor Kane? That's all right. Okay, cool. Excellent. And look, I don't want to critique your emceeing at all publicly. I wouldn't want to do that. What? When is the girls get together? Is it?
This Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
So
it's not Thursday. Okay, so it's the 3rd, not the 5th. Right, what did Kane say? It says the 5th on the run sheet. So it's not your fault, it's someone else's fault. Okay. Anyway, it's on one of these nights. Tuesday. Pastor Denise is about to throw something at me. Okay, all right. This is part 3 of a series on the atonement. And if you've not heard parts 1 and 2, I think they're available online, actually. You can go and listen to them. But the premise is that when Jesus died on the cross, he did more than just forgive our sins and earn us a ticket to eternity. But he did so much more. He redeemed us from all the curses of sin. And we've already spoken about how when he was on the cross, he took our shame. And he bore the weight of sin, and we don't need to walk in condemnation or with guilt or with shame anymore. And we spoke about how that happened. We spoke as well about how he restored us as kings and priests, as royalty in his presence with dominion on the earth. And as we can live and dwell in his presence and minister in his presence. And this morning, I want to talk about something that I think is central to the atonement. This isn't one of the details that you should have glossed over or you should have missed. You should already know this detail. I believe it is as central as the forgiveness of sin, and that is that God heals us. Amen? Yeah. That in the atonement, he bore our sins, and by his stripes we are healed. And I want to read from Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, very famous verses. It says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Your version might say that by his stripes we are healed. And we know that he was beaten, that he was flogged, that his beard was ripped out, and that many times when he appeared post-resurrection to his disciples, they didn't recognize him. You ask yourself, they hung out with this man for many years, how did they not recognize him? Well, maybe he was beaten and disfigured to such a state that he was unrecognizable. He did that for you and I. My other verse this morning is from Luke chapter 22. It says, "And he took bread." Says he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood which is poured out for you." Sin and sickness are linked. Sin and sickness are linked. Sickness and disease didn't come into the world because God created them in Genesis 1 and thought that'd be good. He didn't on day 5 create the birds and the trees and all that, and then, you know what else I'll create? I might create cancer today. I might create disease. I might create in my special lab here, I might create a new COVID variant. God didn't do that. That's not what he created. The Bible says when he created the world, it was good. Amen? It was good. But when we sinned, came with it all the consequences of sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Death, disease, sickness, decay, all those sorts of things. So when Christ died on the cross, he redeemed us from all the curses of sin. And the Bible shows us in many places that sin and sickness are linked. I want to share with you a few quick verses here, just as an introduction. In 1 Peter verse 2 and 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. There you go, you've got sin and healing mentioned in the same verse. Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Many of us believe the first statement, that he forgives all our sins, but the statement's not finished, and heals all our diseases in the same breath. And then in James 5, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Why even mention that last bit? I thought this was about healing. I thought that's all he was talking about, was about healing. No, pray for the sick person, they'll be made well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Sin and sickness are linked. Well, what does that mean? Let me tell you a few things that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you have sickness in your life because you have sinned in some specific way. Some Christians, some people are mucked up when they're thinking, and they think, the reason I'm sick is that God is punishing me. Have you ever had that thought? That my sickness is a personal punishment, a personal penance from God. I don't believe that's true. I believe we're sick because we were born in sin, because the world is full of sin. You're not sick. We don't suffer disease because of my specific individual sin that I did something wrong when I was 8 years old. There's sickness in my life because Adam sinned. Bible says that death reigned through the one, yeah? It reigned through the one. It came because Adam and Eve sinned. So you need to banish from your mind that thought that the devil puts in there, that whatever's afflicting you, you deserve, that this is a punishment from God, that this is your lot in life, that you'll just have to live with that. You'll just have to walk with that. You'll just have to carry that because you deserve it. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Now, don't get me wrong. There can be consequences for decisions you've made. If you smoke 3 packs a day, you might end up with lung cancer, yeah? But that's not God punishing you for your sin. That's just the way the world is. Sometimes things can happen and they have consequences. You haven't looked after your body and things happen. But God is not punishing you. God is not cursing you. God is not putting something on you because of your sin. Sickness and disease are here because sin exists. Full stop. It doesn't mean that God is not going to heal you because of your sin. God is not withholding his grace and his healing in your life because you're a sinner. Let me give you a tip. Jesus Christ only heals sinners. So if you're a sinner, you're a prime candidate to be healed. The only way you'll get healed is that we're all sinners, yeah? He only heals sinners. Have a look at who Jesus healed in the Bible. All those miracles of healing. I can't remember on any occasion him stopping and saying, hang on a second, are you a sinner? I'm not healing you. I can't remember any occasion where he said, I will heal you, but first, go and repent. Confess all your sins. Promise that you'll change. Promise that you'll never do that again, and then I might heal you. Does anyone read that story? In fact, I don't even remember him asking about their sins. There was one occasion where he goes to heal someone And instead of saying, be healed, he just says, your sins are forgiven. As if it's the same thing. Healing is an act of grace. Healing is an act of God's goodness. Healing God does because it's his character. It's his nature. It's who he is. He's healing you because he's good, not because you're good. He's healing you because what he does, it's not because what you do. Is this making sense to anyone? Sin and sickness are linked, but God is not withholding healing in your life because of your sin. And the devil, he likes to put thoughts in your mind. He likes to lie. He's a deceiver. Every time he speaks, he's telling lies. And so you might get thoughts coming to your mind occasionally. It says, yeah, I'm struggling with this, but I can't expect to be healed. I can't have faith for healing because I know that I have this bad habit. And I know that I can't deal with that. And I know that I'm not praying enough and I'm not doing this. And we make all these reasons why in our own mind why we can't expect the healing power of God to flow in our life. I tell you what, those thoughts are not coming from Jesus. Those thoughts are not coming from Scripture. Those thoughts are coming from the enemy. When Adam and Eve sinned, you know what? They sinned by taking fruit from a tree. That tree was not called the tree of sin and evil or the tree of good and evil. It wasn't called that. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The biggest barrier to our faith is not sin in your life, it's the knowledge of sin in your life. It's a sin consciousness. The Bible says that he didn't want Adam and Eve to have the knowledge of good and evil, yeah? It says, now that they have the knowledge of good and evil, we must bar them from the garden. That's what he said. Because they will be like us, basically knowing good from evil is what it says. And we can't then let them have from the tree of life. It's the knowledge of good and evil that affects your faith. The reason Christians particularly struggle, long-time Christians struggle in the area of healing, struggling in the area of breakthrough, struggling in the area of provision and miracles, is not because God doesn't love us. It's not because we're not living a good and decent life, or we're not giving and we're not praying and all those sorts of things. It's because we become so aware of our own performance and our own performance and our own righteousness and our own holiness affects our faith. It puts a barrier there. The best thing you can do when you need a miracle from God is get your eyes off yourself. Stop looking at what you've done. Stop looking at where you've been. Start looking at how much you're praying and fix your eyes on him. Amen? If you get your eyes on him, you'll see he's a healer. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to provide for you. The knowledge of good and evil kills faith. And let me always put that caveat in. It doesn't mean we just excuse sin and we just live our life and we never deal with that. I'm not saying that at all. I wasn't saying, but I receive from God, not based on what I've done, but based on what he's done. Amen? Sin and sickness are linked. It doesn't mean that you're sick because you've sinned. It doesn't mean he's withholding his healing because you've sinned. What it does mean is that Jesus conquered both sin and disease and sickness on the cross. That's what it means. We read in Isaiah chapter 53. Says he took up our pain and our suffering. Your version might say he took up our grief and our sorrows. Does your version say that? That's the most traditional one that people know. That word grief and sorrow. You might think, oh, he's taking my emotional pain. He's taking, you can read it like that, but the word in Hebrew is actually sickness. It's weakness. He's taking our afflictions on the cross. He bore them on the cross. And it says that by his wounds we are healed. See, here is the transaction that takes place on the cross. And I've said this before. His blood was shed and we are made righteous. His body was broken, ours is made whole. That is the transaction. And when I said at the beginning that when we talk about healing, that it's not just one of the details that's easy to miss in the whole crucifixion thing, is because Jesus himself makes a point of it at the Last Supper. When he says, this is the cup, right? Take this. This is my blood poured out for you. And we all focus on that. Okay, that's great. My sins are forgiven. But every time we take communion, we take two emblems, don't we? One of them's the cup. That's only half the atonement. The other half is the bread. And it's not just bread, it's broken bread. Yeah? And what does he say? This is my body, broken for you. Why are we so quick and so easy to accept the forgiveness, the blood that was poured out, and yet we skip over the bread, the broken bread? You know, I shared about how shame was taken and guilt was taken and that we're kings and we're priests, and that's all good. That's all in the detail of the atonement. But Jesus, in the Last Supper, doesn't give us an emblem to remember those things. You know what? That just happens in the crucifixion. But there are two things he gives us an emblem for. One is the forgiveness of sins. One is healing. And he says, every time you meet together, do this in remembrance of me. Take the cup and take the bread. Because it is a central part of the atonement. God wants to heal our bodies. Amen? I believe we take communion wrong most of the time. I know I was for a long time. And I just want to put a disclaimer out there. If you've ever shared a communion message and you've said something along the lines that I'm about to share, I do not judge you. I did the same thing many times. But I want to encourage you, don't do it again, all right? We do this, and it's because we don't understand the book of Corinthians where this is mentioned a little bit. It says, we do this, we take the bread and we take the cup and we say, all right, everyone, search your heart. Just ask God to reveal any sins that are in there. Just make sure you're not taking this in the wrong way. And have a good look in there, you know, and rededicate yourself to God. And it sounds spiritual and it sounds beautiful. And I've shared many a communion message like that. And I'm so glad that Jesus took me aside one day and said, stop doing that, all right? Because when Jesus was with his disciples, he doesn't say, do this in remembrance of you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So when I take the bread and I take the cup and I spend the whole time looking at me, I'm doing it the wrong way. Does that make sense? It's not a time to remember me. It's a time to remember him and proclaim his death until he comes. We do this in remembrance of him. Every time I take the bread and I take the cup, I think my sins are on that cross. His body is broken up there for me. He loves me. He forgives me. It's all about him and what he's done. And if I look at him and I remember him and I proclaim him, there's an exchange that takes place. All that stuff that's in there goes up there, and all the stuff that's in him comes on me. That's the way it goes. The beautiful exchange. The bread is central to the atonement. Healing is central to the atonement. Healing was central to the ministry of Jesus. Most of his miracles recorded are healing miracles, amen? The Bible says at times he went around healing all diseases and all who were sick. It's like he hardly went anywhere where there wasn't a healing miracle. It's like that was his radar. Where are the sick people? Where are they? Let me at them. Most of the Gospels are just full of healing miracles. It's not an optional extra. It's not an add-on for the super spiritual people. It's not something that he might do or that he's reserving for someone. It is central. It's for everyone. It's for you. It's for every disease. It's for every sickness. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how long it's been there. It doesn't matter how it happened or why it's there. Healing is central to the atonement. And he wants to heal you. So what do we do this morning if we're sick? What do we do this morning if we're struggling with disease? How do we respond to the truth that God heals and that he's by his stripes we are healed? Well, here's the first thing. Here's the first thing. You need to fix your eyes on Christ. You need to fix your eyes on Christ. And you need to thank him that he's taken your sickness and your disease and that his body was broken for you. You know, some people, they like to proclaim that they're healed even when they're struggling with something, right? You know, like they might have a bad hip or something and they say, no, I don't. God's healed me. And you can see them, you know, like this. No, 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 God's healed me. And we laugh at that, but you know what? If God's given you some kind of personal revelation, that's what he wants you to do, and that's how he wants you to attack that matter, and you're believing in faith, I'm not going to mock you. I'm going to be the last person to throw stones at you. I'd rather you have too much faith than not enough, if that makes sense, yeah? So if that's how you want to live, you go ahead and that's fine. But I am a believer. You know, if you've got something that's going on, you can acknowledge that your hip is bad and that you have sickness and disease, but follow it with a but, yeah? My hip is bad, but his body was broken. Yeah? And he's my healer. The doctor says I've been diagnosed with this. That's the truth. You don't have to ignore that and not take the medicine. And, you know, it's not something that we're advising from the pulpit that you just ignore your doctor. All right? You don't have to do that, but you can follow it with a but. The doctor diagnosed me with this, but by his stripes I am healed. Amen? By his stripes I'm healed. I have to go through and I have to take this treatment, but by his stripes I am healed. If you've got something in your life today, you've got a sickness, you're struggling with something, pain, whatever it is, you can acknowledge that pain's there. It's not a lack of faith to say that pain's there and say that you're afflicted by something, but follow it with a, by his stripes, I'm healed. Every time you take communion, get your eyes off yourself. Don't judge yourself. Don't waste that time remembering you and remember him and speak it out. When you take that bread, you've got something that's going on in your body, say it. Jesus, this is your body broken for me. Broken for me. I thank you that on that cross you bore my pain and my suffering. And as I take this communion today, I thank you for that beautiful exchange that you're making my body whole. You need to do that. You need to do that. You need to claim verses on healing. We had someone in our Connect group last year share a great testimony of an issue that they were struggling with. And they felt that the Lord led them to write down all the verses that they could find on healing. And they kept a list. And they would speak that list out every day. Oh, that is faith in action. That is beautiful faith. I love that kind of faith. And you know what? God healed them. God healed them. I love that. I love that. Faith in action. Getting your eyes off the problem and eyes on Scripture, eyes on Christ. You need to speak out what you know is true, even when you don't feel it sometimes. You need to speak out what the Bible says, even when there is pain and there is suffering. We, again, at Connect Group, you need to be part of a Connect Group, by the way. Can I just say that? Coming on a Sunday is not enough. You're missing out. You need to connect in with other believers. If you want to experience all God has for you, if you want to contribute and be a part of making the church grow, I tell you, you need to be part of a Connect Group. But again, in Connect Group, we were talking about Paul and Silas. and how they were put in prison and in chains, and they began to worship. Now, the Bible says that they chained them in uncomfortable positions. That means they were in agony as they were singing. It wasn't just that they were in a dark place. It wasn't just that they were in chains. It wasn't just that they had been beaten. They were currently experiencing pain and suffering as they worshipped. That's faith. Yeah? You might be in pain today. You might have an issue that you've been struggling with for a long time. You might have prayed 1,000 times and nothing's changed. And you're experiencing that pain. I'll tell you, whatever it is, right now, in His presence, continue to praise and sing and proclaim what you know is true. Amen? That's how we respond to His work on the cross. That's how we respond to His work. That's how we take what He did on the cross and we appropriate it in our lives. We speak it. We look at it. We remember it. The more you do that, the more the exchange happens. The brokenness that's in you is laid on Him. The wholeness that's in Him comes into you. Amen? Where's my worship team? Are they here today? Excellent. Excellent. I want to give you a chance to respond this morning. I sent a message to the worship team, the leadership team yesterday, and I said, today I want to believe for people to get healed. Do you believe God can heal people? Amen? I want to believe that God can heal people. And you know what? I just think it's something not in the character of God, not in the nature of God, where people can just come into His presence week after week and there be no change. That's just not the God I serve. And I want to get to a point in my life where I just don't accept that. I can't accept that. How can the gospel be preached and lives not be changed? How can Jesus be here and people not be healed? I mean, is He alive or is He dead? I don't want to accept that anymore. Either He is who He says He is or He isn't, yeah? Either He heals today or we're wasting our time. Well, I want to give you a chance this morning. In a few moments, we're going to sing a worship song. I'm going to ask our leadership team to come forward. And if you've got something in your life that's, you know, there's a pain, there's an issue, there's a diagnosis, we're going to pray for you this morning. We want to believe this morning. We want to see miracles this morning. We want to see the deaf hear. We want to see the blind eyes open. We want to see all those things in His presence. And you know what? It's not because I'm any good. It's not because the leadership team is any good. It's not because the worship team is singing just the right note. It's because Jesus died on the cross and He took our pain and our suffering. And by His stripes, we are healed. Amen? I like it how the front two rows believe this morning. They're very full of faith. It's good. Oh, Pete's believing too. There's more. I see that hand. This should have been an altar call for salvation. We would have got the whole church saved right there. Excellent. Why don't you stand to your feet? And why don't you fix your eyes on Him this morning? Hallelujah. Can we sing Waymaker? Is that what you were going to sing? Yeah? It is now. That's good. All right. Good. They all nodded. Excellent. Why don't you close your eyes, raise your hands this morning. Jesus, we love You, which is a great thing. But even better than that, You love us. You love us. You gave Your life for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we thank You that the Scripture records in detail that Your body was beaten and that it was broken, that it was pierced, that it was destroyed beyond recognition. Lord, it could have been enough just to die and to move on, and our sins would have been forgiven, but you came for more than that. And those details prove it. Those details prove it. That you're there to restore our bodies, to heal our diseases, to take away our pain and our suffering, to your glory, to your praise, to exalt you, to reveal your goodness and your kindness, your gentleness and your grace. Lord God, this morning I pray for everyone, Lord, that is struggling in the area of faith because of sin, because of knowledge of sin. Lord God, we pray for those lies to cease in the name of Jesus. Let there be breakthrough. Let there be breakthrough. We break them off in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we break off unbelief. We break off self-consciousness. We break off self-righteousness. Lord God, we cast it away in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we're conscious only of you and your goodness and your kindness this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need healing this morning, I want you to come out the front. Don't be shy. You can come out now, whatever it is. You've got a pain, whatever. Come and come out in the front. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. Lord, there's people, Lord Jesus, that are believing for a child. This morning, Lord God, you're gonna open wombs, Lord Jesus. Lord God, there's gonna be children. We speak children, Lord God, for couples that are believing for children. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah.